Last week we spoke about the law of sin and death in your members. The sin that entered into the world through the disobedience of one man, Adam. And that sin quickly spread to every man. It's touched every one of us. And it still exists in every one of us. The law of sin and death is in your members. It's in your flesh. Like the law of gravity, it has a downward pull, wanting to pull you away from heavenly things, away from spiritual things, and to work in you a corruption. It operates by lust. Lust itself means a strong desire. Lust is not bad in and of itself. Lust is neutral. That's why the Bible talks about the lust of the flesh, or evil lust, or deceitful lust. But that's what the law of sin in our members does. Is the law of sin, Paul said, I discovered sin dwelling in me, producing in me all kinds of evil lust, causing me to lust against the things that God's law says. Because Paul explained, he agreed with the law of God, and he delighted in the law of God. So he discovered through the law of God that there was another law in his members, making him a prisoner. And I'll tell you, if you are not in Christ Jesus, you are not free. You are a prisoner. You are a POW of the law of sin.
Amen.
It's in your members, and it feeds you, it controls you, it uses you, it determines what you do, and it prevents you from doing what you should do and causes you to do what you don't want to do. The only escape of being the POW, the prisoner of war of the law of sin, is to become in Christ.
Amen.
This is what Paul said. For therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Notice it did not say, as we talked about last week, it did not say that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has destroyed the law of sin and death. It says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Remember, there is the law of gravity that holds things upon the earth, and yet it's an immutable law. It's an unchangeable law. It exists every day with us. And yet, every single day, the law of gravity is overcome by the law of lift, the law of aerodynamics. Planes take off and land safely, thousands upon thousands, every day, all around the world, overcoming the law of gravity by a greater power.
Yes.
And for the believer, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus brings to the believer power. As Jesus told his disciples when they were asking him about, is now the end time coming? Are you about to set up your kingdom? He told them, it's not for you to know the times and dates set up by my Father, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses. Because the Lord designed that there would be a new covenant. The first covenant was a covenant based upon the law of God between God and the people of Israel. But because of sin in the flesh, Paul said in Romans 8, the law was weak. Sin in the flesh made the law weak. Sin didn't care what the law said. Sin had its desires, and the law was not powerful enough to restrain the desires being produced by sin. But it was through the law we are able to discover we have this sin in us. We are prisoner of this law of sin. So God designed a new covenant, not a covenant based upon the law and commandments and letters written on stone. This law is based upon His own life, His own divine nature. And in the new covenant, which comes to us in Christ Jesus, the grace of God brings the life of God Himself, His Spirit, into us to enable us to overcome the law of sin and death. So now, for those who learn to live by the power of the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we're not controlled by the law of sin and death. It's there. It bothers us. It troubles us. Paul said to the Galatians that the flesh, where sin is, lust against the Spirit. But the Spirit of Christ in us, lust against the flesh. So there's a war. And guess who determines who wins the war? We do. Yes. It depends upon who we follow, who we yield to. Paul said in Romans 6 that all of us used to yield our members. We let sin use our tongue. We let sin use our eyes. We let sin use our ears. We let sin use our brain. We did what sin told us. We cooperated with it. And what did it produce? Unrighteousness and uncleanness and corruption and pain and misery. We harmed ourselves. We harmed the people in our lives. We did things that were not good because sin in us was producing these desires, and we cooperated. We yielded our members. And here's what Paul says we are to do now. Now, you are to reckon yourselves to be dead to sin and alive unto God through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Because our old man, and when the Bible talks about the old man, He's talking about the person we were when we were POWs of sin, when sin was our master and we were His slaves. That's the old man. Our old man was crucified with Jesus when He died on the tree. It says, Paul said in Romans 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him in the body, in His body on the tree, that the body of sin might be rendered powerless. Not eradicated, rendered powerless. Broken of its ability to dominate and rule and enslave us. So we are now to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin and alive unto God. And you know what it tells us as believers to do? We are to present ourselves to God as those who've been raised from the dead to life. I've been resurrected. Christ Jesus resurrected me out of the law of sin and death. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was a slave of sin. And God, through His mercy, sent His Son and broke the power of sin and paid my price and lifted me out of death and made me alive. And now I'm to say, okay, Father, here I am. You set me free. You've given me life. Here are my members now. Use my hands. Use my eyes. Use my ears. Use my mouth. Let me be Your servant. Let me do Your will. Let me live by Your Spirit. And now there's power. Now the Holy Spirit in me is producing the desires of God. The Spirit is willing, even though my flesh is weak. There is so much power in Christ available that even though I still feel the old tug, I still feel that gravitational pull of sin. I still feel it, and I wrestle with it. But now I'm supported by a greater power. I don't have to crash. There is lift. Jesus Christ lifts me up, and I can walk day by day supported by the power of God. I actually have support for my mouth. I don't have to run at the mouth. I have support for my emotions. I'm not a victim of my emotions. I feel the emotions. If you wonder if I'm saying as your pastor that I never get frustrated, I feel frustration. I feel upset. I feel anger. It's there. Sin, I sense it. It's there. It's saying, give in to me. Come on, give in to me. You know you want to say it. Come on. Go ahead. There's power, though. There's another voice in me. Christ Jesus in me. The Holy Spirit saying, no, no. Come on. I'm holding you. Here's a way of escape. Here's what you should do. Deny yourself. Count yourself dead to sin. Walk in this way. And just like Paul says, if we walk by the Spirit, though I feel it, though I hear it, though I sense it, though it's making me suffer, I do not have to fulfill that desire. I can actually do what the Spirit inside me is enabling me to do. That's called walking by the Spirit. Living by the Spirit. And Paul said this. He described two types of people in Romans 8. And if you want to read with me, I'm going to read in Romans 8, just from the start of the chapter. And I'm going to then kind of stop, and we're going to discuss verse 5. I'll start with verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law, the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by sin in the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but who live according to the Spirit. And then here we come to verse 5. And I like it in the original language. Those being according to the flesh walk after the flesh, or they mind the things of the flesh. Those being according to the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. Now look at me, see if I can make you help us understand this better. Why does it say those being according to the flesh? Because in the Hebrew mindset, the mind of the Jew, you are the things you do. What you do determines what you are. If you're outburst, if you can't control your tongue, if your emotions rule you, you are in the flesh. That's where you are. That's how you know where you are. Strife, division, anger, depression, all kinds of wrong things. If those are the things in your life, you are according to the flesh. Because your mind has been formed through the flesh. If you are doing the things of the Spirit, if you're manifesting righteousness, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness, meekness, self-control, if the things of the Spirit are manifest in your life, then you are being according to the Spirit because you're minding the things of the Spirit. And what Paul is indicating in these verses is that what determines whether you are being according to the flesh or being according to the Spirit is your mindset. A very difficult word in the Greek to translate into English. It has to do with the inner perspective that regulates your outward behavior. You do what you do outwardly because of the way you think inside. And the way you think inside has been formed. Habits, you have habits of thought. You have You have ways that you think. And the ways that you think, or the pattern of your mind, or your mind frame, you could say, has either been formed by the flesh or by the spirit. And if your mind frame has been formed by the flesh, guess what you're going to do? You're going to act according to the flesh. You're going to run at the mouth. You're going to burst out in your anger. There's not going to be self-control. You're going to be a harm to yourself. You're going to be a harm to others. You're going to do things that should not be done because your mind has been formed by the flesh. And the way you process things was made by the flesh, because this mind frame is developed over time. It's not just a single thought. It's the way you think. Only those whose mind has been trained, discipled, formed by the Holy Spirit think like the Spirit. They process their thoughts by the Spirit. They see opportunities through the mind of the Spirit. They deal with temptation through the mind of the Spirit. They relate to life through the mind of the Spirit. The way they internally process things has been taught by the Spirit, and they have a spiritual mind, and those are the ones who live according to the Spirit. And so how do you know? How do you know where are you? Are you in the flesh or are you in the Spirit? How do you know? You have to examine what you do. What do you do? Do you see the works of the flesh in your life? Do you know what the works of the flesh are? Paul said these are the works of the flesh. And notice it's interesting. He calls these works as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. Do you see these things in your life? The works of the flesh are obvious. They're observable. Sexual immorality. Do you sleep around outside of marriage? You're in the flesh. Impurity. Debauchery, drunkenness, drugs, and things. If that's in your life, you are in the flesh. That says where you are. Idolatry. Witchcraft. You know what the Greek word for witchcraft is? Pharmakia. Drug use. You're in drug use, whether it's prescription or not. You're in the flesh. If you are addicted to legal drugs, you're just as much in the flesh as those who are addicted to illegal drugs. It's in the flesh. Listen to these. Hatred. You hate other people, you're in the flesh. Discord. You don't get along with people, you're always at odds with someone, you are in the flesh. Fits of rage. You blow up, you lose it, you act out, you're in the flesh. That's you. It's an indication. That's how you know. Because this is a work of the flesh. Selfish ambition. You know what selfish ambition is? A simple word term. It's getting people on your side. How many of you, when you're in some kind of situation, the most important thing for you is to tell other people what that person did to you so they'll be on your side? You are in the flesh. This is a work of the flesh. That's not a work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is to cover a multitude of sins. Not to go around and get everybody on your side having sympathy with you. That is a work of the flesh. If that's happening in your life, you are in the flesh. Dissensions, disagreements. You know how you know who lives in the realm of dissensions? Their language is we and they. Those people and us. Them and us. They are people who live with sides. They don't see us as family. They don't see us as one people, one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. It's us versus them. Those people are in the flesh, if that's a part of their life. And drunkenness and orgies and envy. Jealousies. And here's what Paul said. I warn you. And this is Paul writing to the church of Galatia. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, if you're living in the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You are not in the spirit. You are not in the family. You're just, you know what? You can be in the church and be in the flesh. Yes. Just because you're in the church building, it's what you do determines where you are. And then Paul contrasts the works of the flesh with the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Now, why did he choose the word fruit of the Spirit as opposed to works of the flesh? Because sin is the one doing work in those who are in the flesh. But Christ is the one producing life for those who are in the Spirit. And through abiding in Christ and sharing His divine nature, His life, like we're the branches, He is the vine. And through abiding in Him, His goodness is bearing fruit in us. His wisdom is bearing fruit in us. His love, His kindness, His meekness, His patience. He in us is producing fruit. So do you know how you can tell whether you are in the Spirit or the fruit of the life of Christ? What's happening in your life? Is that what people experience when they experience you? Do they get a taste of the Lord Jesus from you? Are you serving them the fruit He is producing in you? Are you giving them His love? Because love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. It's not easily angered. It's not rude. It's not proud. It's not self-seeking. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. Is that how you're known? Is that the fruit that's being manifested in your life? How about peace? Nothing unsettles you. I don't care who's in government. I don't care what they're planning. I don't care if there's martial law. I don't care if Russians take over. I remember one time back in the past, a friend of mine told me, hey, Alan, you got to get ready. Did you know that the Russian army is assembling there at the southern border of Texas? You're about to invade the United States. I said, oh, Dina, I guess we better get more food ready. We're going to about to have company. I mean, it was just like, I'm not going to be unsettled by such things. What can they take from me? My Lord Jesus told me, do not fear those who can kill the body. And after that, nothing else they can do. I mean, if I'm not even to fear someone taking my life, why should I care if they take my house? Why should I take it? What are they going to throw me in prison? They're going to keep Jesus. Prison bars are going to keep Jesus out. Anywhere Jesus is with me, I will be just fine.
Amen.
Anywhere, any place, any country, it does not matter. That's peace. Do you manifest that peace? Or do you listen to the news and get unsettled? Yes, I know COVID's out there, and I hope none of us get COVID. My father got COVID and he died. I was right there listening to him take his last breath. So I know what I'm talking about. And still there's peace. I don't want any of us to die of COVID, but God doesn't want any of us living in fear either. Amen. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. If you want to live, let Him know you want to live. But let it be in His hands. And the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the evidence that you are in the Spirit is you have peace. There's another evidence that you're in the Spirit. You have joy. Life is joy. Peter says, we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you know how often that joy is? Every day, in every situation. You know, the Bible's serious. Count it. What? Count it. Let's say the word all together. Count it all joy. That means every situation. Whenever you face trials of various kinds. Because patience needs to have her perfect work. Our Lord was made perfect through the things that He suffered. And the Lord, our Heavenly Father, has designed that we grow and mature and become stronger by adversity, by testing, by trials, by suffering. That's how come Paul learned that lesson. Remember when he was battling that thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan that was buffeting him, beating on him is the Greek picture that the language gives. And yet he pled with the Lord to take it away. He thought he could not endure it. And we remember what the Lord said to him, right? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And when Paul saw that the Lord wanted him to depend upon his own power and not Paul's, not his own strength, then Paul says, therefore, all the more gladly, I will boast about the things that make me weak. That's why, for Christ's sake, he said this, I will delight in hardships, in tribulation, in weaknesses, in insults, and in difficulties. Wow. If God can make all of those things beneficial for us, then life is truly for us an occasion to rejoice in the Lord always. Even while we sorrow about other things, we can sorrow about conditions we see. We can have concerns and sorrow for people in our life. We can even deal with sorrow if we get bad news for us physically. Some of us will have bad news from time to time. Did you have cancer? Guess what? I've got bad news for all of you. You're going to die someday. Bad news. But Jesus said, He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I mean, even that's not the end. We should be the people who manifest the fruit of joy to the world.
Amen.
We shouldn't be the people who walk around forlorn. You know what testimony you're giving to the world if you walk in doom and gloom? You're saying that your father does not take very good care of you. Because when that little child comes to school and he's always, always down and he's always withdrawn and he's never outgoing, the teacher, what did the teacher start thinking? What's going on at home? Listen, when a believer is not walking in the joy of the Lord, you're a bad testimony to your Father. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Of all the people in the world, we should be the happiest. We should have the most joy. We should walk in peace. We should be able to suffer long. We should be able to respond with kindness, blessing those who curse us, doing good to those who harm us, praying for those who despitefully use us, so that we can be children of our Father in heaven. This is life in His Spirit. This, for far too long, and let me say this as gently as I can. For far too long, Christians have excused their failings by the old man, by the power of sin and temptation. When Paul, our apostle, taught us, we're to reckon ourselves to be dead to that and alive to God through Jesus Christ. And it's time that we realize that greater is He who is in us than he that is in the world. And that we can now say, like the apostle Paul, when he was in sin, he couldn't do the things he wanted to do. And he kept doing the things he didn't want to do. But in Christ, you know what Paul says now? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That means I can do all things without murmuring and complaining. Because God is at work in me, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I know that there are not very many people who actually walk in this way. Can I encourage you to do something? Take your eyes off the common majority and look for the rare person who's literally walking in all the promises of God. Let them be, excuse me, let them be your example. Like the writer of Hebrews says, because we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, there's all kind of people watching our life. You want to be a witness? You want to be a missionary? You want to make a difference in the kingdom of God? You want to be useful? All you have to do is start living by the Spirit, and everyone in your life will see Jesus Christ. Everywhere you go, Jesus Christ will be on display through the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you never know how far it will go. You'll be a missionary on the job. You'll be a missionary in your home. You'll be a missionary in your neighborhood. You will be a missionary demonstrating to others that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. Because he's living in you. And he's enabling you to walk in this way. This is Christianity. This is Christianity. It is time for us to take our eyes from the forgiveness that we have on the cross and focus upon the resurrected Jesus. We often want to see Jesus still on the cross. There's reasons we want to do that. When we feel like we still need the forgiveness of our sins, we know it is that beautiful old rugged cross that secures to us that forgiveness for our sins. But it's a great mistake to leave Jesus hanging on the cross and not realize that he was resurrected from the dead so that he could walk with us and talk with us and live with us. You see, the life that I'm describing, living in the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, is literally having the presence of Jesus Christ with you side by side every single moment, every single day, everywhere you are. Jesus with you. Getting to know Jesus, walking with Jesus, learning to hear his voice, learning to live your life yoke with him. Remember he said, take my yoke upon you. A yoke puts two animals together. They can walk side by side. Jesus walking with you and I can make our life pleasing to God and pleasing to others. This is living by the Spirit. This is why I encourage you, seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How often? Daily. Remember the analogy I gave you, the hot air balloon? The balloon itself is just a basket with ropes and a canvas of some material. Where does all the power come from? How do they get that balloon filled? Who can tell me? What do? They light a fire. Right? They light a fire. And the fire begins to heat the air. And as the air is heated, molecules go faster and faster. And as the molecules in the air begin to move faster and faster, what happens? They begin to rise. Because the air outside the balloon is colder than the air inside. And as the air heats up and the molecules and energy is much more active, it starts pushing. It starts pushing on the inside of the canvas, creating lift. And it literally lifts the balloon higher in a greater force than the law of gravity. And literally, the balloon can then float in the air and be carried along because the air inside is supercharged with heat. What did Jesus say? Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The zeal of the Lord, the fire of God, the energy of God producing in us a greater power, more dynamic energy internally than the environment around us. So that even though the environment around us has its downward pull on us, we are lifted above it. We're able to walk above it and overcome it. It's there. But the power within us is just greater than the power that's in the world. This is Christianity. This is what it's supposed to be for us. And there are things that are also necessary to do to help the Spirit. One of the things the Scripture says is that we're to lay aside every weight. Okay? There's things to put off because they're too heavy. They keep us tied to the earth. And there are things in the invitation of the Spirit, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. While I'm thinking about it, let me return back to this mind frame. Remember, as I said earlier, what Paul said in Romans, those that are being according to the flesh are that way because the mindset of the flesh has been formed in them. They process things by the way of the flesh. And so they act according to the flesh because it's the flesh that is formed the way they think. Those who are being according to the Spirit have had their minds trained by the Spirit. They have developed that internal process by the Spirit. This is where we are very involved. Let me ask you to think with me. Do you think that this mindset that Paul is describing is just an automatic process or an intentional one? Does God just do it for you? So he's either given you the mind of this flesh or he's given you the mind of the Spirit? Or do you think this is where we're the ones making that decision? Let me encourage you to contemplate that choice of which mind we will have is our choice. So let me ask you this question. What activities do you think, I just want you to think with me, what activities do you think are helping form the mind of the flesh? What activities do you think that you're involved in are helping form the mind of the Spirit? Because Paul talks about the one who sows to the flesh shall from the flesh reap that corruption. And the one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So what activities are sowing to the flesh? What activities are actually developing the mind of the flesh? Have you thought about it? I could describe them. But look at your life. What do you watch? What do you do? And just ask yourself this question. Is what you're watching building to your spirit or to your flesh? Which is it? You know, in Colossians chapter 3, Paul said this. Since you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. You mean there are things that are above? Not on the earth. You mean there are things that God says they are above heavenly things, not on the earth. Yes. That's one question to ask yourself. What you're watching and what you're doing, where is it? Is it from above? Or is it on the earth? Where is it? He also said, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So he says this. Mind, there's that same word. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth, because you died and your life is now hid with Christ in God. So we are to seek those things above. Do you understand? Are you following? If you're seeking those things above, What mind will you be creating? The mind of the Spirit. But what if you're seeking those things that are on the earth? Notice it didn't say evil. It didn't say evil. It just said things on the earth. Paul said this in Philippians. He said, sadly, I say, as I oft said before, I say even now, weeping, many live like they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Their glory is their shame. Their God is their belly, and their mind is on earthly things. Earthly things. I'm sure in many people's minds, good earthly things. But until we learn that there are things above to seek, and there are things above to mind, and when we are seeking the things above, and we are, our mind is being formed and filled with things above, here's what's going to happen. We will be in the mind of the Spirit. And that will determine, we will live and walk by and follow the Holy Spirit. That's what determines it. To every one of us. So I'm just asking you, as your pastor, as just a brother in the Lord, what are you seeking? What is your mind upon? Things above or things of the earth? That's all. God is not mocked. You can't mock God. Whether you listen to me or not, whatever you sow to, that's what you're going to reap. If you sow to your flesh, from your flesh, you will reap corruption. And if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap from the Spirit this beautiful mind of life and peace. You'll reap life and peace. Paul said this, that the dangerous thing of having a mind of the flesh that does not seeking things above, that's minding things on the earth, the dangerous thing about that, it says that the mind of the flesh is hostile to God. And it will not submit to Him. So if you're in the flesh right now, you will not submit to what you're hearing.
That's it.
You won't submit. You'll run right back to some other guy. You'll go right back to some other bottle. You'll go right back to some other drug. You'll watch what you want to watch. You'll do what you want to do. You'll say what you want to say. You'll do what you want to do. And it is because you are in the flesh. And your mind is of the flesh. And you are hostile to God. And you don't even realize you are a POW of the law of sin in your members.
Yes.
When Christ Jesus is wanting to set you free.
Yes.
But the mind of the Spirit agrees with every single thing God says. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
The Spirit never speaks on His own. Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will take the things from mine. Jesus said, the Spirit will take the things from me and make them known to you. You know what's wonderful? It's when I receive the things that are Jesus. Jesus has full joy. He said, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you and your joy full. You know what is so nice to go home full of the joy of the Lord? Because then my wife doesn't disappoint me in anything. I'm already happy. Life is good. I'm even able to walk in and help if she needs some help. You want to ask me how I am if the joy of the Lord is not there? Just ask her. But that's just, I don't experience much of that anymore. Jesus Christ in me makes such a dynamic difference. And if you learn to live by His Spirit, your life will literally be the fragrance of Christ. Paul says it, we are to God the aroma of Christ. You know, if most of y'all know what a Yankee candle in here is, right? The good kind, the kind you pay big dollars for. I can guarantee it, if a Yankee candle was lit in here, None of us would have to see it. We'd smell it. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, people smell Jesus. They smell Him. They smell His life. We are to God the aroma of Christ. Some, it's sad, this is a strange statement, but it's a true statement. To some, we are the smell of life. And to others, we're the smell of death. You know who we're the smell of death to? Oftentimes, we're the smell of death to the POWs who live in sin. Who all they know is their bottle, their boyfriends, their movies, their sinful habits. And they're so unfamiliar with the holiness of God that it just smells like death to them. All to them, it just seems like all those things they have to give up and all those changes they have to make. And they have completely the wrong response. Completely, it's not what God wants. I guarantee you, there is no one in the universe who desires our life to be more blessed than our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And the enemy uses things to make prisoners. And slaves. And the Son of God has come to make us free. And I want us to experience this. So as we continue this year, I have one desire. I want to give up preaching. I hope you don't think this is preaching. I'm not trying to preach. I am trying to plead with you to live by the Holy Spirit. Walk with Jesus Christ every single day. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And let Jesus Christ become to you everything He longs to be. And life will become better than you've ever known it. Better. Better than you can imagine. Even in the difficult times, it is so precious. And I can assure you, having the Lord with you is like having someone just right there to give you a little nudge constantly. Now give me one little example. Just one little example. This last Monday. With COVID-19 this last year, we haven't seen family. So the first time in over a year, my son and his wife and my two grandkids were staying at the house on Sunday night. Well, normally, 3 days a week, I volunteer at Daily Bread Food Ministries. And so with knowing my son and his wife, my grandkids were going to be there, I was going to take a day off. And I was going to spend that morning with my son and his wife and my grandkids. So I texted them, said I wouldn't be there. I normally drive their milk route on Mondays, and I changed it to drive it on Fridays. And so I had to let them know. And they said, fine, we'll see you on Friday. I woke up one Monday morning, riding early, and I just had this nudge. You should go. You should go to the food ministry. If you go early, you get back early, they'll just be getting up. I just had that thought. I could have easily just passed the thought off. No, I'm going to be here. I'm going to spend this time with my family. I didn't. I said, I just sensed just that little, still, small voice. Go. I went. I went to the food ministry. I helped. It was there. As I was leaving, they said, Pastor Al, we have a pallet of chicken here. We don't really have. It's not enough to give to everyone else. It's around 250 pounds of meat. Would you like it? The day before, we had finished emptying our freezers. And by going, by simply being nudged a little here, I bring back, and all of our freezers are full of food, meat for the food ministry.
Amen.
It's this kind of life, being nudged by the Lord, being guided by the Lord, being led by His Spirit, that we can all experience. It is a wonderful life.
Yes.
Okay? I just want you to whet your appetite. I want you to crave asking the Lord for this. Remember what Jesus made it very clear, that the Holy Spirit is given in this way to those who are asking. Yes. Remember what He said? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door is open. Which of you, being evil, if your son asked for a piece of fish, would you give him a serpent? Or if he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? Well, if you, being evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Yes.
So can I encourage you? Ask. That's what we're going to do now. We're going to have a time where I allow you to ask. You can join with us and ask through these songs. These songs are kind of a form of a prayer request themselves. It's called our response. And if you want to ask in the form of the way the writer of the song did, you can. But if you just want to be quiet and cry out in your heart and